Mars. The red planet bleeds a trail of corruption through the solar system. Its nest of traitor constructs cant insanity and stream infection between their incalculable number. The forge temples and canyons of Mars roar with the unnatural fires of infernal industry. A place of the omniscire afflicted, of iron possessed, of the weakness of flesh. Locate, isolate. The Invalis region. There were few places on the Forge World Principle that the Carrion, son of Korax, Martian-trained and knight-errant of Terra, considered more suitable for insertion. Recollection commencing.
The whole region is a dead zone, Archelon had told him. Even the Titanica avoid these highlands.
The Carrion guessed that the irony of his new visit to the region would have been lost on his humorless mentor. The artisan Astartes Gnaeus Archelon had taken him there once, during his Genitoris rotation, to teach the Carrion the technical wonders of the flesh over the weakness of iron. He had showed the tech marine in training the polyhedral structures of smoky red quartz that littered the valleys and mountainsides. The Carrion had felt it then, as he did now, an automotive exhaustion. His vision blurred. His reactor felt like ice in his flesh. The bionics of his limbs felt like the dead weight of plasteel and adamantium that they were. The artisan Astartes had told him that the material had not originated on Mars and had likely been brought to the planet by a meteorite impact. The material resisted all attempts to scan or analyze it, and gave off some kind of field or exotic form of radiation that interfered with anbarics and power systems. The priests of Mars were superstitious about the region, declaring it circumlocus expedientum. From the dreadful draining sensation within his systems, the Carrion had seen why.
It will pass,
Archelon had said, suffering similar sluggishness.
Run compensations and proceed.
Run compensations and proceed, the Carrion ordered.
The interior of the orbital arc lighter was a haze of stuttering lighting. The cargo vessel had only a rudimentary bridge with basic systems intended to be run by a small servitor crew. The Carrion had been assigned two servo automata, gifts from the Fabricator General. Tech Marines leaving Mars were often assigned servitors as part of their final covenants, constructs to provide technical aid and cover during combat, when they would be at their most vulnerable. The Carrion assumed that Zagreus Kane was sending him a message in such a gift. They were called Di Delta 451 and Eta Iota 13, the Null and the Void, as the Carrion had come to call them, for their complete absence of warmth and conversation. A reminder of Mars, indeed. The pair were Vat feminine, with light battle chassis and slight limbs. Armourplast plates were embedded directly into their bare flesh, allowing the servo automata to move swiftly and carry out orders without impediment. Their clone-identical faces were set in cybernetic crania, busy with service scopes and augers. Their eyes were alive and urgent, but beneath their noses there was only smooth flesh. Instead of mouths, they had small vox grills set in their throats. They were armed with rotor guns that they held snug to their shoulders like rifles. Tool belts sat across their hips, including a chain blade that doubled as a last resort weapon. Like the Carrion, they had been port-stripped to protect them from the code contagion that was sweeping through Mars. If the Null and the Void felt the drain of the Invalis, they said nothing. Uncoupling himself from the cockpit cradle, the Carrion willed himself to move. It was a hydraulic effort, almost akin to pain. But one by one, the Space Marine moved his limbs, fighting the strange effects of the Highlands. Uncoupling from her own cradle, the Void powered down the remaining arc lighter systems, leaving the barest reactor traces for detection. The Null was already up and manually cranking the emergency access port set in the roof of the tiny bridge. With a pressurized pop, the hatch blew off, allowing the servitor to climb out onto the hull of the Arclighter. Grabbing his weapons, and with effort, the Carrion followed, with the Void bringing up the rear. Standing on the re-entry scorched hull, the Carrion could see the scar of the Arclighter's landing running across the Martian Earth. The Void had used flaps, air brakes, and purged cargo sections to bring them in shallow and put the Mechanicum transport down in a broad valley. A trail of red dust marked their path, with the Arclighter partially buried in the ground and its servo derricks, hoist claws, and haulage rigs hanging mangled from the hull. It had been no accident that the vessel had put down in the Invalis region, although it was meant to appear that way. It had been an orbital workhorse, confiscated as part of the tender flotilla belonging to a Martian blockade runner. The Munitoria Logis arc freighter had been captured by the Imperial Fist destroyer Pugnacitis, and the attendant lighter requisitioned under Lord Malkador's authority for the Carrion's insertion. It had little trouble returning through the blockade. It bore all the appropriate Basilicon Astra identicodes, and its rune banks bounced transit readings and cant missions off shipyard traffic towers, Mechanicum auger boys and orbital defense monitors that still reeked of scrap code corruption. The Carrion had ordered the screeching servitor crew executed, but had made no attempt to purge the Arclighter of its ruinous taint. While data buffers protected the Carrion and his servo automata, the code corruption made an excellent camouflage for the vessel, drifting past the beleaguered ring of iron, glowing with strange, sickly bale light, and shrieking with tortured vox missions. The Carrion was glad to be out of the infected transport. The vessel was ailing, its systems stream-sick, its superstructure haunted. Standing on the blackened hull exterior, the Carrion's infravision fixed on the moon Phobos above. The shadows of traumatic fractures afflicted the satellite. The planetoid was followed through the night sky by a flotilla of colossal bergs and rubble, remnants of some apocalyptic event on the surface or within the Fabricator Moon. From the devastation, the Raven Guard Space Marine estimated the void forges of Cratera Reldressa and the Skaia City all but destroyed. The dry docks of the Kepler Dorsum no longer present at all. The Raven Guard looked at the red Martian peaks, reaching for the bleak heavens. They were littered with stripped wreckage and rusted vessels that had also suffered the curious effects of the region. The area was regarded as one of several vile vortices that afflicted the red planet, triangles and quadrangles where craft and constructs routinely went missing. Kelbor Hal's traitor priests were no less superstitious about the Invalis than their Mechanicum predecessors, and the Carrion was confident that landing the Arclighter here would garner little interest from the monitoring stations. The Carrion heard the flap of wings. His cyber raven, Strix, flew from the open access hatch, circling the crash site and adjusting to the Martian gravity. Swooping in, the construct creature extended the delicate hydraulics of its silver claws. It too felt the strange drain of the region. With a light prang, the Cyber Raven landed on one of the Carrion's node columns, the twin power cells set in its nape like afterburners humming ominously. Closing its wings, the creature's bionic eye cycled through different color spectra, and the interface pin of its beak whirred and turned. It had been Strix that had kept the Carrion sane during his detention on Luna. On the Sigilite's orders, tools, parts, and the clone bird, still in its vat, had been supplied for the legionary's distraction, and as a gesture of goodwill. The Carrion had spent many hours on the creature's intricate augmentations, taking his mind off disturbing revelations of galactic rebellion, legion fratricide, and distant massacre. "South," the knight errant ordered. prompting the Null and the Void to climb down through the melted antennae and haulage rigging of the Arclighter and down onto Martian soil, where they obediently trudged through the sands and up the crystal-strewn valley. Feeling every step like the crushing tug of high gravity, and with his hydraulic arm like a dead weight hanging from its side, the Carrion willed himself on through the draining flux of the Invalis Highlands. By the time the sun had set on the horizon, and with many hours of dust-dragging footsteps behind them, the strange power-sapping effects of the region had dissipated. Engaging the grainy grey of his night vision filters, the Carrion led the Null and the Void at a rhythmic, hydraulic run across the ash wastes of the Terra Chimeria, with Strix circling above and alerting its master of distant dangers with a canting call. It required all of the Carrion's 19th Legion training to traverse the code-corrupted madness of Mars. On the horizon, forge temples burned with the ominous glow of unnatural industry. In the darkness, with the stars twinkling harshly above in a cold, empty sky, constructs and vehicles passed them, the caterpillar trundle of freightway traffic, humming gravcraft, gaggles of indentured labor units and cable gangs of Munitorum servitors, driven on by their transmechanics. The sound was unbearable. The thin air of Mars carried the Vox mission madness and shrieking scrap code of polluted constructs far. As the sun came up, traversing the open ground of the red wastes, the terrace excavations and ash heaps unseen became a challenge. The screech of Avenger strike fighters seemed ever present in the skies above them, crisscrossing the heavens like angry insects. The slopes of the Scamander Ridge were swarming with feral servitors, and the Carrion and his servo automata had to be careful not to alert the power-famished cannibals to their presence, using a swooping Strix to lead hordes of the torpid constructs away from their path. At Eridania, they almost ran afoul of a Warhound Scout Titan, the towering monstrosity booming madness that could be felt in the pit of the stomach as it chewed up the slagscape and depots with predaceous abandon. The manufactoria, industriascapes, and hab-hives reaching out into the frosted desert from about great forge temples and assembly yards offered more opportunities for concealment, but also more danger of discovery. The dead eyes of servo automata and whirring optics of engine overseers were everywhere. Pictors and auger posts monitored output. Sky talons, articulated tractors, and convoys of tracked cargo haulers dragged raw materials and production-grade weaponry, armor, vehicles, and combat constructs intended for orbit, and the War Master's futile blockade runners. The curtains of red dust kicked up by the tug engines and trains provided much-needed cover, and even short-haul transport for the Raven Guard and his attendant automata. Behind a colossal depot swarming with technomats, drone machinery, and servo-limb slave constructs, the Carrion led the Null and the Void up an assembly way and into the Promethei Sinus container yard. Circling above them, Strix had a view of thousands of damaged giga-containers in a state of utter disarray. Strikes from the air or stationed artillery had toppled container towers and the lofty robot hoist rigs that attended upon them, creating a sea of cluttered, battered cargo contents. Surveying the gargantuan shambles, the Carrion began to worry about the dungeon diagonoplex situated secretly below the surface of the container yard. It was an ancient and integrated network connecting the forge temples, data grids, and constructs of Mars, in which the Praefecture Magisterium and Divisio Probandi had to prosecute their ongoing war against techno-heresy. Only high-ranking priests, Principia, and their trusted guests, like the Tech Marines Covenant, were allowed knowledge of such places. The Carrion dropped down onto the buckled roof of a crate before clambering down into the topsy-turvy mess of the container yard. At first, he was concerned that the yard had been hit by an orbital strike or aeronautic bombing run in the schism hostilities, and that the installation below might have been damaged. Indeed, as they pushed on, It appeared that the container yard had taken a series of devastating hits. Where the detonations had landed, gigacrates had been decimated, container stacks had collapsed, and the very rockcrete of the gargantuan depot yard had been shattered and cracked about deep craters and hollows. Why the Promethei Sinus container yard should present such a tactical target to loyalist or traitor forces, the Carrion could only guess. Perhaps Mechanicum tacticians on each side were attempting to deny their counterparts the supplies there. Perhaps the Imperial Fists had targeted the site on the insistence of the departing Mechanicum. Perhaps it was a purely accidental strike, a victim of garbled coordinates. Either way, the craters and trail of destruction through the depot yard certainly made the path through the jumbled giga-containers an easier one. Flanked by the Null and the Void, their rotor guns held tight in at their shoulders with the multi-barrels sweeping the labyrinthine path ahead, the Carrion moved through the gaps and spaces between the containers. Strix weaved through the jumble too, the cyber raven swooping above and through the rubble. Pounding on through the colossal expanse of the depot yard, ducking beneath crates, bounding up slopes of disgorged cargo and sliding down the roofs of toppled containers, the Carrion led the way towards the hidden entrance to the dungeon diagonoplex. The first sign that there was something seriously wrong was the reappearance of Strix from a shadowy underpass.
"Halt,"
the Carrion ordered, bringing his pair of servo automata to a dead stop on the shattered rockcrete surface of the yard at the centre of a blasted hollow. As the cyber raven flew back at him, its canting caw told of a threat ahead. It seemed that they were walking straight into an ambush. The Carrion brought up the baroque bulk of his graviton gun and set it to a rumbling charge.
"Pattern Imbrica," the Raven Guard ordered, prompting Di Delta 451 and Eta Iota 13 to move. "Form up and close fire arcs."
A drone ocularis suddenly hummed from the darkness of the underpass, all scopes, auger vanes, and aerials. As its pursuit of the cyber raven brought it face to face with the Carrion, its picked corder whirred into focus, and a jabbercant of code erupted from the drone, echoing harshly about the perverse architecture of the jumbled container yard. Pumping the weapon, the Space Marine blasted the drone with a graviton pulse. As if struck by an invisible giant fist, the construct was smashed back into the corrugated wall of a container and shattered apart in a shower of workings and splattered interior organics. The thing gave off the foul stench of something spoiled and corrupted from within. A sound from the rear prompted the Carrion to spin around. The Null and the Void did likewise, moving forward with the multi-barrels of their rotor guns. The Carrion thought he heard something approximating a bark. A short blurt of bale code had come from a creature that now bounded up onto the slanting roof of a toppled container. It was an oil-slathering example of cyber-hybrid carnivora. A thick-set thing of exposed, vat-grown muscle. Canine, as far as the Carrion could tell, threaded through with cables, pneumatics, and protective studding. Its eyes were fat telescopics, its legs flesh-fused into single, hydraulically augmented limbs, its snout a pneumatic trapjaw of idling chainsaw teeth. At another bark of echoing cant, the brute thing summoned a pack of similar monsters, which leapt and scrambled up through the rusted giga-containers. Suddenly they were everywhere, appearing from the gaps between crates and sometimes through the breached openings of the containers themselves. The Carrion moved the barrel of his graviton gun between the skinless cyber beasts. The Null and the Void's fingers pulled back on the triggers of their rotor guns, setting their multi-barrels to a whirring blur, each one waiting for a full yank on the trigger that would activate the ammunition autoloaders. The cyber creatures were wary at first, and then, at the code-streamed order of some nearby corrupt construct, the carnivora simultaneously surged for the Knight Errant and his servo-automata. Their bounding steps and the combination of mastiff muscle and hydraulics made for a fearful rush. The Carrion blasted the nearest of them, shattering bone, demolishing augmetics, and pulping raw flesh.
Furiously charging the weapon, the carrion smashed creature after creature into broken carcasses and bloody smears on the rockcrete floor and against container walls. The rotor guns of the servo automata suddenly roared to the chatter of fully automatic fire, the Null and the Void shredding bounding cyber beasts with economical bursts of fire, each trigger pull revving the multi-barrels to another carcass-chewing crescendo. The Hollow was a swarm of bounding bodies, cyber-hybrid carnivora, coming at them from all directions at once. The Void was knocked clean off her feet by one bullish beast, the thing snapping at her boots before attempting to drag her back to the pack. It received a side-mulching stream of rotor fire from the Null for its trouble, almost cutting it in half. Another beast came at the Null from behind, but the carrion smashed its screeching maw of cycling chain teeth aside with the stock of his graviton gun, before pumping the weapon and blasting its head, shearing jaws and all, clean off its hybrid body. As the griffitic cell on the weapon clunked to empty, the carrion felt the extra weight of a pair of cyber creatures biting into his left arm and leg. As the jaws chugged and their chain teeth shrieked to full cutting power, the carrion's plate registered a breach. The monster chewing on his leg had somehow managed to gun its jaws to some of the adjunct hydraulic workings. Dropping the graviton gun, the carrion slipped his cog wrench from where it was maglocked to his belt. Snarling at the creature thrashing at his leg, he smashed the base of the tool's heavy shaft down on its reinforced skull, before slipping it between the monster's whirring jaws and prizing it off. With a power-armored turn, the carrion dragged the second cyber beast around, its jaws locked on the plate of his arm. As the creature that he had prized off his leg came for him again, the carrion cannoned the body of one cyber beast into the other, knocking them both away. He brought the serrated denticles of the cog wrench up and brained the first monster. As the second surged for his face, the Space Marine got the shaft of the tool between the construct creature's thrashing jaws. The wrench handle juddered against the cycling teeth, but the carrion forced it back, bracing the beast against the side of a container wall, forcing the shaft through the workings of the creature's maw. Leaving the cog wrench in the ruined workings of the cyber beast's jaw, the carrion turned around to find the Null on the rockcrete floor being mauled by another beast. Meanwhile, the Void was blasting oncoming creatures into blurs of gore and workings. Those that escaped the rotor gun's attentions and made it to the Space Marine had the fired interface spikes of the carrion's hydraulic fist to look forward to. Stabbing and punching the chain-jawed half-dogs aside as they leapt for his throat, the knight-errant held the shrieking maw of the second-to-last beast away from his face by its brawny neck. With his hydraulic palm against the housing of its pneumatic jaw, the carrion drained the beast of its electromotive power, turning it into a flailing lump of raw flesh, dragged down by deadweight bionics and appendages. Hurling the creature at the final beast, the carrion broke them both. Turning, he found another creature still dragging and mauling the Null across the rockcrete. Opening his palm at the last of the cyber-hybrid carnivora, he blasted the monster with the meager power sapped from its compatriot construct. The half-dog immediately released the savaged servo automata before slinking away. The brute thing reached the nearest giga-container, but before making it inside, the cyber beast's flesh began to smoke and steam, and it crashed to the floor and died with a shower of sparks erupting from its slowing chain jaws. The carrion immediately sensed that something was wrong. The Void hadn't used her weapon on the beast that had been mauling her sister construct, and so must have been pointing it somewhere else. As the Null got to her feet, a pair of ragged scars tore across her face where the cyber beast had savaged her, and the carrion turned. About the Hollow, standing atop the jumbled containers, he saw a familiar figure. The rust-red robes, the cadaver's face, the missing jaw, the skeletal fingers on the clavier board, the leering servo skull that drifted almost temple to temple with its master. Standing above the carrion in some kind of warped judgment, it was the Lexorcist, Raman Sink, who had set his cyberhounds on the knight-errant. Sink and his servo skull
Confabulari 66 were heretic hunters no more. Ghoulish bale light proceeding from all four eye sockets of the corrupted construct. The hunter had become one of his hunted.
You will surrender,
the Lexorcist's voice boomed from the servo skull's inbuilt voxhalers.
And receive the judgment of Kelbor Hal, Master of the Mechanicum, Fabricator General of Mars.
The Carrion looked about. All around the hollow, bonded battle automata of the Legio Cybernetica were stalking up to the container edges. They were Vorax-class hunter-killer units, formerly found in the sinister service of the Malagra and the Prefecture Magisterium, exterminators of rogue constructs and heretics. The monstrous machines now found themselves slaved to traitor protocols. The hunter-killers zeroed in on the Carrion with the large sensor optics of their manted heads, like a pack of machine predators. Shrugging their arm-mounted rotor cannons forward into their firing cradles and bringing their irradiation cleansers up over their heads from their backs like the tails of scorpions, the hunter-killers were prepared for the Lexorcist's next order, as issued on the Cortex controller built into the construct's clavierboard chest. Raman Sink had him. Perhaps the slave systems of the Arclighter had betrayed them in some way. Perhaps the Raven Guard had not been as careful in his clandestine movements as he had assumed. Perhaps the Lexorcist's cyber beasts had simply picked up the scent of honest endeavor amongst the reek of ruination. Regardless, the Lexorcist had tracked him down and had the knight errant in the gun sights of his machine predators.
Stand down, the Carrion told the Null and the Void,
and the multi-barrels of their rotor guns descended.
You will surrender,
Sink told him again, the vox-modulated voice bouncing about the containers.
And to whom would I do that?
The Carrion called back, playing for time.
To Kelbor Hal, Master of the Mechanicum and Fabricator General of Mars,
the servo skull blurted back.
Not the Lexorcist General,
the Carrion questioned.
Not the Prefecture Magisterium, or the Divisio Probandi.
Raman Sink said nothing for a moment, as though struggling with old memories that refused to stay buried, and the bale light of his eyes dimmed for a moment. The Carrion pressed on.
Do you remember, Lexorcist? You used to serve at the pleasure of the Prefecture Magisterium. In the dungeon diagonoplex, right beneath our feet.
Raman Sink's cadaver face twitched with remembrance. He could not resist the corruption flowing through his systems, the madness that clouded his mind, or the spoiling of his done flesh. He could not deny what he had become, a pawn of evil.
You will surrender,
Confabulari 66 boomed, speaking for its master.
Or you will be destroyed.
Raman Sink's spindly fingers went to work on the Cortex controller built into his chest.
Lexorcist, wait,
the Carrion called. But Raman Sink wasn't going to. Suddenly, the Lexorcist was a robe-threshing mess of clutching hands and urgency. Strix had been circling above, observing. Processing its simple Aegis protocols. Under such circumstances, the Cyber Raven was programmed to defend its master. Landing on the Lexorcist's threadbare head, the hydraulics of its claws scratching at his hood and mottled flesh, the fabricant familiar flapped its black wings and pecked at the top of Raman Sink's skull. The Lexorcist didn't have protocols of his own for such a situation, and responded by moving his hands between the half-completed targeting algorithms of his Cortex controller and snatching for the construct attacking his head. Finally, sinking its metal claws into the Lexorcist's scalp, the Cyber Raven pecked the interface pin of its sharp beak through the aged bone of Sink's skull. Turning the pin like a tool driver, the bird burrowed down into the traitor's head. Confabulari 66 blurted snatches of corrupted cant, interspaced with high-pitched shrieks. As Raman Sink crumpled to the floor, Strix took off from the dropping corpse construct and landed on one of the Lexorcist's unmoving hunter-killers, its beak dripping with blood. The carrion exhaled and gritted his teeth. He couldn't have given the cyber raven many more seconds to act on its Aegis protocols. A distraction might have been enough. Instead, the carrion found himself under the guns of silent hunter-killers, waiting for their final authorization to open fire. An authorization that would never come. "No sudden movements," the carrion ordered. If the battle automata thought they were being attacked, they might defend themselves as a reflex protocol. The carrion recovered his cog wrench and slowly retreated from the hollow, prompting the null and the void to do the same. Limping a safe distance away, the carrion took the time to make some rudimentary repairs to the chewed hydraulics of his leg and stapled closed the gashes running across Di Delta 451's mangled face. "We're close," he muttered, limping his way through the jumble of cargo containers, Strix swooping overhead. Accessing the meme cells of his cogitator and overlaying memory with actuality, the Space Marine managed to pinpoint the location of the Promethei Sinus dungeon diagonoplex. Ducking beneath a collapsed giga container and reloading a graviton cell into his gun, the knight errant hobbled up to the partially demolished rockcrete bunker sitting unobtrusively in the middle of the colossal container yard. In the bunker sat an equally unobtrusive blast door of pure adamantium.
"That's it," he said,
though he needn't have bothered, since the servo automata attending on him were only interested in the significance of direct orders. Firing one of the interface spikes in his hydraulic fist, the carrion ran buffers before inserting the pin into the haptic door socket. Turning the spike with a clunk, the Space Marine processed the high-security access codes that Zagreus Kane had supplied him with. As Fabricator Locum of Mars, there were few places Kane's old passcodes would fail to work. As the adamantium door rumbled aside, the carrion was presented with a second security door, and then the sizzling grid of an Anbaric security mesh. Each needed different codes to unlock or disable them. Beyond, the large cage of a freight conveyor car for the transport of heretics and impounded materiel was revealed. Stepping inside with Di Delta 451 and Eta Iota 13, as well as Strix, perched on one node column, the carrion activated the conveyor hatch and took the car down to the only place it led. Sublevel processing. As the doors opened on the blood-red haze of emergency lighting, the carrion realized that this was where he had first seen the heretic Octal Bool. Beyond the detention complex, the sublevel housed the Court Diagnostica, operational quarters for the ward engines and magisterium constructs, prisoner processing, cataloguing, interrogation, disassembly, and the visitor auditoria. The detention complex was a deserted mess, appearing to have been abandoned in a hurry. Rune banks had been left on, while weapons and power cells had been stripped from the armory. It made sense to find even such a high-security installation as the dungeon diagonoplex unattended, the carrion reasoned. In the face of data streams and Vox missions confirming a global conflict and a schism erupting in the ranks of the Martian Mechanicum, many constructs would have abandoned their posts to respond to both loyalist and traitor recall and reassignment. For the priests and ward engines left behind, there would have been little point attending a facility housing heretics below ground when Mars was being seized by traitors on the surface. Constructs like Raman Sink might have remained, only to be infected with the corruption of the spreading scrap code. The carrion found sentinel posts and Aegis stations abandoned, and holomat automata hanging lifeless from the ceiling. It seemed that no one was even remotely monitoring the installation's dangerous charges. At each empty station, the knight errant found that the wireless receptors and hard feeds had been smashed, along with encryptia and voxhalers. It hadn't helped the constructs manning such stations. Without adequate data buffers, the infectious scrap code had found a way in anyway. Porting into the detention complex Runebanks, the Carrion found the local hardlines and streams to be unclean and afflicted by the code corruption. With his buffers protecting him from the screeching madness of binary, the Raven Guard ran a swift diagnostic, ascertaining that the integrity of stasis containment on the sublevels was still intact, and that the heretic prisoner, Octal Bool, was incarcerated on level 93, along with his experiments. Another security conveyor took them from the security complex down through cavernous sublevels of stasis containment cells. Each level housed a different heretic, or example of deviant technology, frozen forever in time. For while the servants of the cult Mechanicum might abhor the abominable and unsanctioned, they also abhorred waste. Low-grade metals were regularly recovered from the slag strata of ancient Martian operations. Strips of red desert were turned over to energy farms and anbaric irrigators to absorb wireless power waste straight out of the Martian air. Vat-grown flesh was recycled for the cloning of further servant constructs. In turn, even the fruits of techno-heresy were securely preserved for posterity, stasis-contained, or buried in vaults and labyrinths, so that the future priests of Mars might learn more of its deviancy, if only to condemn it further. As the conveyor dropped down through the levels of the Incarceratoria into the bowels of the Red Planet, the Carrion thought on the radicals, the forbidden knowledge and the dangerous artifacts stored in the vault repositories beyond. The Runebanks in the detention complex had picked listed details of the imprisoned and impounded level by level. The dungeon diagonoplex housed heretic priests, Xenorites, and faith traitors, as well as their assembled corrupt works. Examples of alien artifacts, anima silica, and warp-fueled technologies had been chrono-contained in the facility, as well as madmen and machines. And magi, emaciated and unfinished, brutally bereft of their augmentations, their transgressions, unsanctioned experimentation, or illegal research. Some had indulged the techno-translations of censored texts, or had been outspoken in their rejection of the machine, and therefore the machine god, in favour of the purely biological, with its governing passions and distractions. In the installation Audicia, the Carrion witnessed all manner of deviant constructs. Mantis-like drones, murderous cogitants, monstrous, unsanctioned battle automata, diseased engines on sprocket wheel and tracks, humanoid killing machines wearing the remnants of organic camouflage. The machine mad, the gremlin infested. He saw mist-eyed explorators whose brain cavities had become home to alien parasites and electromagnetic beings. Dark experiments gone awry, intent on crackling their way in ignorance and infancy across metal walls and through local wiring to freedom. The cell vault above Octal Bool contained the polished skeleton of a long-dead priest, hanging like an ornament from a spidery nest of servo limbs and mechadendrites. The sentient metal tentacles had won the battle for supremacy with its Mechanicum master, and now wore his remains like a ghoulish garment. The impressive collection of heretics and deviancy was a testament to the Lexorcist General's fear of anomaly and the Prefecture Magisterium's purity of purpose. Nothing should deviate from the cold logic of the Omnisire's intentions. The conveyor shuddered to a halt. Level 93. Hydraulics fired and door after security blast door rose, parted or rolled aside. An anbaric security mesh fizzled to nothing, allowing the knight-errant entry to the huge cell vault beyond. The Null and the Void followed, their rotor guns raised and their first belt-fed large-caliber stub rounds chambered. The Carrion pump-charged his graviton gun. Perhaps it was the various security measures, but the vault felt like a dangerous place. Strix emitted a brief cant-caw that echoed about the cavernous darkness of the chamber. Everything was deathly still, and the only sound that could be heard was the reverberant hum of stasis field generators. Such precautions in each of the cell vaults had meant that despite the hench units and constructs of the Prefecture Magisterium abandoning the maximum security facility, nothing had escaped. The carrion limped forward into the vast obscurity, the hydraulics of his legs sighing with each cautious step. A pressure stud alerted the cell vault autosystems of authorized visitation from the detention complex above. Bleak strobes clunked and blinked their way to illumination. The walls, floor, and ceiling of the chamber were all black metal, like the chasmal cargo section of some ancient freighter. Air circulation systems hissed to life from sliver grills. Infravision ball optics revolved in their picked sockets, capturing for an empty detention complex the advance of the carrion and his attendant automata into the incarceratoria. A simple rune bank console, set in a pedestal before them, glowed to activation. Stepping forward, the carrion shouldered his graviton gun and punched suspension protocols into the rune board. Firing an interface spike and stabbing it into the haptic port set in the bank pedestal, the carrion fed the security systems the authorization codes of the fabricator locum. Uncoupling from the rune bank and slamming the execute glyph key, the carrion stepped back. The delay gave the impression that the machine was considering the knight-errant's request with the appropriate gravity, which the carrion knew could not be true. With a clearance clunk that rattled the metal walls of the cell vault and could be felt in the pit of his stomach, vents fired a silver steam. The rune screen on the pedestal began presenting the glyphs of a countdown, while the layered doors to the conveyor began to close as an extra security measure. The carrion didn't like the idea of being trapped in a sealed vault, leagues below the Martian surface, but he had little choice but to wait on the countdown. As glyphs flashed up and disappeared, the red lamps about the ceiling and floor-mounted field generators glowed to a searing radiance, bathing the vault in an infernal light. The Null and the Void brought their rotor guns up to eyeline, while Strix flapped its wings and cawed, hopping between the carrion's shoulder-projecting node columns. The lamps began to illuminate the impounded technologies held in the dissipating stasis field. As line by line of lamps glowed on, the carrion could see discoid plates in both ceiling and floor, like great chrono-containment magnets of similar polarity, holding something perpetually in place. On each plate, standing almost to attention, were ranks and ranks of battle automata, possibly upward of 300 units. The constructs were Castellan class. They were hulks of plasteel, adamantium, and ceramite, towering exemplars of ancient design and the excellence of Forge World engineering. Chunk hydraulics, the brutality of heavy-duty workings, armoured cabling and reinforced feeds. At twice the height of the carrion, and almost three times that of the Null and the Void, the battle automata were lifeless yet imposing. Like statues, they demanded a moment of grim admiration of any who looked upon them. Their reinforced plate was scuffed, dented, and paint-stained the red of Mars, with chassis frames and carriage hydraulics polished down to their original materials. Only the workings of weaponry and the curved cortex housing betrayed the bronze of exotic alloys. The red armor bore the sigil of the Legio Cybernetica and the production branding of Elysium Mons, the forge temple of their manufacture. Markings showed the battle automata to have been drawn from a range of operational maniples, but all belonged to the Deidari reserve cohort. The Deidari had been formally stationed at Phaethontis as a reserve section after illustrious and punishing off-world service during the early days of the Great Crusade. Banners and foil ribbons riveted to their plate still listed their operational history and accomplishments. As the first rank of battle automata sizzled back to the present, the carrion noticed movements from the impounded arcana. At the center of what passed for a chest in the hulking machines, plate housings allowed space for what design dictated should be an interfaced representation of the machine opus, or cog mechanicum, the ancient symbol of the machine cult, a hybrid human and cyborg skull. On each of the battle automata, and modified expressly against designations, the machine opus had been removed and replaced with an interlocking unit of brassy polyhedral cogs. The gears were all outlandish shapes and intricate sizes, driving one another smoothly, their dentica and teeth fitting beautifully together. The arrangement ticked hypnotically, like an archaic timepiece. The carrion had never seen anything like the arrangement during his 30 years on Mars. Watching the backward and forward action of the polyhedral cogs, the knight errant could not shake the impression that the gears were in the act of processing something, rather than being physically driven.
Tok!
The sound of a wretched voice echoed about the vault. The carrion looked to his servo automata.
Locate and isolate, he ordered, prompting the null and the void to advance with their rotor guns raised.
The cyber raven Strix took to the air and swooped over the cortex casings and silent bolt cannons of the statuesque ranks of battle automata. Limping through the lines of metal giants, the carrion held his graviton gun tightly to his chest. The Raven Guard felt vulnerable amongst the small army of heretical machines. It was an unusual feeling for one of the Emperor's angels.
Tick-tock!
The voice came again. As the carrion dragged the sluggish hydraulics of his damaged leg, the meme cells of his cogitator overlaid his dream of octal boule with the words bouncing about the emptiness of the chamber. They were a match. An exact match for the heretic's final words. Strix found him first. The cyber raven perched on the pauldron of a nearby Castellan war machine, cant cawing its discovery and drawing the carrion and the two servo automata to the heretic's location. Advancing with the fat barrel of his graviton gun levelled, the carrion found Octal Boole on his knees. The heretic was bent over double, but not in pain. In joy. He was laughing. As the madness went from silent hilarity through hissing and wheezing to unrestrained glee, the heretic kept blurting,
"Tick-tock! Tick-tock!"
The carrion considered a range of approaches to the situation. This was not exactly what he'd been trained for. He dismissed a formal identification of his person, purpose, and credentials as pointless, while the implementation of physical violence would be counterproductive. Slipping down onto the armored knees of his bionic legs before the former Majus Dominus of the Legio Cybernetica, the carrion looked down on the frail priest. Octal Boole quaked with glee, looking about him at the mighty battle automata. He seemed particularly excited by the strange whir of their polyhedral cogs. The carrion took the heretic by the arms and lifted him up, drawing the madman to face him. The Raven Guard blinked the blank silver of his eyes at the priest. Boole bowed his head before the carrion, revealing the blood on the crown of his head, still fresh, where the lexorcists and hench units of the Prefecture Magisterium had ripped some interface or working from a cavity running down into his brain. Boole brought his head up and opened his bloodshot eyes. The carrion reminded himself that for the heretic, 30 years had passed in an unbroken moment. His tortures and the traumatic stripping of his cybernetics were but fresh torments. His warning to those gathered in the auditorium, the carrion included, all those years ago, was still bitter on his cracked lips. Of the true dangers to Mars, the embraced darkness of ignorance, and a priesthood wired from vat birth to obey. of the purity of the machine and the weakness of flesh.
Mars will give up her secrets,
the lunatic babbled. She has, the Carrion told him grimly. And she will. The heretic reached out absently for the silver workings of his arm and the paintless plate on the Space Marine's chest. He was like a beaten child, a tortured genius and an overloaded machine all wrapped up in one miserable specimen.
Octobul, the Carrion said,
bringing the heretic back to the severity of the moment. After chrono-containment, the Space Marine reasoned, the free passage of time must have been a horribly disorientating experience.
Bool, I need you to remember. What you have predicted has come to pass. Mars has fallen. It needs to be purged, Bool. Do you hear me?
The heretic's red raw face screwed up with the joy of recognition. He nodded.
Of the weakness of flesh?
Yes, the Carrion confirmed, of the weakness of flesh. Do you remember the vertex, the planetary axle, the magnetospheric shield of Mars? Bool, do you remember your heresy, your sedition with the abominable intelligence, and what you plan to do?
The machines must rise,
the heretic squawked excitedly.
And the red planet must be purged, the knight errant repeated, shaking the madman gently. Bool, listen to me. This has to happen now, just as you were planning, before being caught by the lexicists of the Prefecture Magisterium. Bool, where is the abominable intelligence? Where is the Tabula Myriad?
As the heretic slowly repeated his words back to him, he suffered a sudden realization, like a spasm. Releasing his grip, the Space Marine watched the wretch stumble to his feet and set off through the forest of towering battle automata. Pushing himself off the battered red plate of the robot's legs, Octobul moved with deranged certainty through the machines. Hobbling on his damaged limb, the Carrion followed him, and in turn was followed by his servo automata, their rotor guns at the ready. At the center of the huge vault, amongst what the knight errant estimated to be the entire Daedari reserve cohort, he found the heretic struggling with the seals of a security casket situated on the disc of a stasis plate. Without his augmentations or carapace, the Magos was a feeble thing of thin bone and wasted flesh. Sliding the cog wrench off his belt, the Carrion stepped forward.
Stand back,
the Raven Guard said, prompting the heretic to retreat.
Tick-tock! Tick-tock!
Octobul said, biting at his fingers.
Be careful!
With one power armor-driven swing, he struck the magnetic seal from the crating with the cog wrench. Weaving in under the workings of the Carrion's bionic arm, Octobul seized the crate and heaved the heavy lid from it. Peering down into the darkness, the Carrion was surprised to hear the heretic cooing and whispering into the crate. Laying a hydraulic hand on the priest's shoulder and prizing him away, the Carrion found that Bool was holding a small fabricant to his chest, that in turn was clutching him back like a baby. From behind it appeared to be a cherub, a cybernetic construct of clone flesh crafted into the form of a winged baby or angel. As it worked its white wings, Bool turned to the Space Marine, and the Carrion saw its face. The construct was not a thing of flesh at all, but a small automata, a being of robotic frame and discoloured plasteel, with metal protrusions like ratchet hooks for legs and tiny toolage claws for hands. Its head had the dead eyes of a doll, while the dirty plasteel of its face was a fixed mask. One quarter of its bald crown had been stripped away, presumably for an exploratory examination by the prefecture lexicists. Beneath, the Carrion could see the smooth workings of intricate brassy cogs and polyhedral gears, the same wondrous mechanism he had observed set in the chests of the battle automata. Incredibly for such a fabricant, a thing of metal, plasteel, and flywheels, the construct demonstrated simple but clear emotional responses. Boole and the thing embraced like father and child, the heretic reassuring the creation after its incarceration in the crate and the stasis field.
Uncanical,
Octal Boole told the carrion.
A pet project.
Boole, the knight errant said. Where is the tabula myriad?
The heretic released the cherub, which crawled back into the crate. Within moments it returned. The flapping of its white wings took it into the air. Over its shoulder it had the loop of a chain made of interlinking gears. As the carrion watched and the cherub rose, a machine appeared from the crate.
Mars be damned,
the carrion murmured, shaking his head. Beside him, the Null and the Void responded to the Aegis protocols and leaned in with the multi-barrels of their rotoguns. The Cyber Raven Strix cant-cored the consternation of a simple threat assessment. The mechanism was an impossible thing. A large orb of interlocking cogs and gears of a design, motion, and intricacy far surpassing the basic mechanisms implanted in the battle automata and the uncanical. It was an overlaid nexus of ticking, rhythmic clicking, and the slick, harmonious whir of impossible gears working in unison. The carrion couldn't bring himself to think of it as alien, but its design and workings disturbed him. It looked as if it shouldn't work, but it did. Perfectly. While human in design, the clunky intricacy of the machine told him that, it was clearly not a creation of the Mechanicum, a hallowed fusion of flesh and iron. The exigency engine was all counterclock gears and Byzantine cogwork that became more miniaturized and unfathomable the deeper he looked into the mechanism. Baroque tools, interface columns, and molecular scoops extended and retracted gently through the labyrinthine workings with the serenity of a serpent's tongue, testing, interacting, and absorbing the base elements it needed from the air and surrounding environment.
This is the abominable intelligence, the carrion said,
but it was clearly a statement more than a question.
This is the tabula myriad,
Octal Boole told him.
Purger of the parafex of Alter Median and purifier of the stellar exodus worlds of the Perdus Rift.
The carrion watched as the cogs, gears, and workings of the abominable intelligence parted at the base of the orb, creating an opening.
Yes, yes,
Octal Boole bleated. Further polyhedral cogs and intricate workings appeared in the opening, until the heretic approached the silica animus and took from it a smaller orb of interlocking gears, the same kind of mechanism the carrion had seen at work in the battle automata and the cherub. The knight-errant repressed a shiver. The abominable intelligence was self-replicating. Octal Boole turned, carefully carrying the miniature intelligence in his hands, and offered it to the carrion. The Raven Guard's lip curled. His instinct was to destroy the thing, but instead he settled on holding the ceramite palm of his gauntlet up.
I am not worthy, the knight errant told the heretic.
He assumed the abominable machine could hear him. Boole simply smiled and bowed his head, then took the miniature intelligence and pushed it down into the bloody cavity in the top of his head. With a sickly realization, the carrion suddenly understood that Boole's torturers in the dungeon Diagnoplex had removed such a thing with the rest of his augmentations. Octal Boole's face changed. The insanity and agitation faded. Twitches subsided, lines disappeared, muscles relaxed. With or without such slave interfacia, Octal Boole was a heretic and sincere devotee of the genocidal tabula myriad and its cold equations. Once again, however, he had achieved abominable union with the intelligence and had given himself willingly to the prosecution of its harsh solution for humanity. The carrion looked from the tabula myriad to the human face of techno-heresy in the calm visage of Octal Boole.
There isn't much time, the carrion announced. Mars must be purged. They must be poisoned and purified of the weakness of flesh.
The intelligence-interfaced heretic gave the Carrion an awkward smile. About the Raven Guard, the reactor cores of the Castellans fired to unified life. Autoloaders of arm-mounted Maximus bolt guns and paraxial Mauler shoulder cannons chugged to priming, and the atomantic defense fields energized, filling the air of the vault with the crackle and static of weapons-phased shielding. With the artificial flesh of their neural cortices long extracted, and no further need for wetware routines or the guidance of machine spirit, the battle automata were now thinking machines, benefiting from their own simple exigency engines. Like Octal Bool and the Cherub Uncanical, however, they were under the ultimate reason and control of the abominable intelligence. Without the need for voxcant or orders in the form of binary, the battle automata began to form up in their operational maniples. As the Carrion looked about in amazement, battle automata bearing the carapace identifiers of the first maniple stomped to attention and assumed a protective formation about Bool and the Tabular Myriad. Among their stamped records of operational history, the Carrion could see the designations of individual automata. Dex, Impedicus, Nullus, Pollex, and Little Auri. The Carrion nodded with appreciation as he realized that the units of the first maniple were named after the fingers of the hand. The knight errant had no doubt that working in unison, the hulking battle automata would pack quite a punch.
Vertex Australis and the destruction of the magnetospheric shield, the Carrion said to the serene Octal Bool, and the intricate exercise in abominable genius that was the Tabula Myriad. The eradication of flesh must be enacted.
As the first maniples of battle automata began forming up in front of the elevator doors leading into the cell vault, Octal Bool gave him the peaceful certitude of his bloodshot eyes.
Fear not, ally of annihilation, the heretic said. It has already begun.